Good afternoon, Chevra. Good to be back. So, I kind of left you on a cliffhanger yesterday. I didn't want to, but I was kind of, there was a buzzer beep. So, I left you in the middle of the story of Yehudit, if you remember. So, this is where it was getting good. Where Yehudit went for dinner with Helifornos, and he prepared a whole seuda, and she told him she can't eat it because it wasn't kosher, so she said she brought her own food, and she brought a lot of she brought salted cheeses, aged with a lot of wine, and she started feeding him, and he got very thirsty, and he asked for a drink, so she gave her, you know, she pulled off a very similar move to whom? Anybody remember a similar? Yeah, by Sisera. Maim Sha'al Chalav Natane, except Ya'el gave him milk. She gave him wine, and he fell asleep, and I don't remember exactly, the Megillat Antiochus brings down the language of the tefillah that Yehudit said as her body was trembling and as she dislodged, she took out his own sword from his sheath to cut off his head. She said a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and with a swift motion, she cut it off. She cut off his head and she put it in the basket. She waved goodnight to the soldiers, said, yeah, goodnight everybody. And she went back into the city of Betul that was under siege. She went back to the Zikne Ha'ir, to the elders of the city, and she showed them the severed head of Helifornos, and that was the beginning of the end. They delivered the head of Helifornos from Betul to Yerushalayim, and they actually, for a little while, they hung up the head of Helifornos on the doorway of the Beit HaMikdash. So that was like that was an added thing, and that instilled a lot of fear in the Yevanim about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves Am Yisrael. Now, this was about, you know, this was a few years before the story. There was another similar story, not with Helifornos, but with, yes, this was with Yehuda Maccabi's younger, unnamed sister. We don't know her name. We had a similar thing. Everybody knows the famous Gemara Ketubot, Dav Gimal, of Umisakana Va'elach. What was the Sakana? That there was the Sakana of the Hagmon. You remember the Gemara in Masechet Ketubot? That they had a Gzera, the Ivanim instituted that they had, you know, some sort of governor, that anytime any betulot of Am Yisrael, they had to get married, had to go through the Greek governor first. So in order to stop that, that was in the times of the Hashmonaim. So Yehuda Maccabi's younger sister, we don't really know her name, she went and had a similar thing. She also came in, she went into the, she kind of faked getting married, so she would be able to have a personal encounter with this governor, and she went and she killed him, and they drew that inspiration from the story of Yehudit several years before. Okay, so that was that. Now, as a result, we have, I brought this to tell you, to explain to the Rashbam, who wrote that the Nisim of Hanukkah Ufurim were af hen ayu be'oto anes, that's why women were included in this mitzvot, because not only were the mitzvot, were the nisim of Hanukkah and Purim inclusive of women, but they were brought about first and foremost by women as well, who were the vehicles for the nis through Yehudit and through the Hashmonaim's younger sister. Yeah.
This story of Helifornos, that was not Hanukkah.
That was before Hanukkah. That was a generation or two before the Hashmonaim.
That's the story that inspired the story of Hanukkah.
Correct. That inspired the Hashmonaim, that when they were being threatened by the Evanim, they drew a lot of inspiration from that story in order to go fight the enemies. Yeah. I guess they didn't put it mamash on the Beit HaMikdash, maybe by the Azarot, outside the Azarot before. So that's that. Yeah, you're right. Because the halacha is, the Gemara says, Masechet Yevamot Daf Zayin, that Tme'emet were allowed to come onto the Harabayit, but just not into the Azarot, as opposed to Ba'al Keri. Very interesting. The Gemara says Meforash that which is a more severe tum'ah, Ba'al Keri or Mit?
Mit.
Mit requires Shiva Yamim, Mit requires Parah Aduma. Nevertheless, in terms of Bi'ata Mikdash, Tmemit is allowed to enter the complex of Harabait. He just has to step at the Azarot, whereas Ba'al Keri is, he has to be thrown out of Kol Shlosha Machanot, which includes the Harabait. Anyway, that's that. So that finishes the background, the historical background aspect of Hanukkah. Now, just to get, because we don't have a lot of halacha shirim left until Hanukkah, I just want to get out a few piskei dinim la'halacha u'ma'aseh, and I will certainly discuss the procedure for bachurim who are boarding and are not home during Hanukkah, I will certainly get to that. Don't worry, I won't leave you hanging. So, first of all, there are several discrepancies between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim with regards to Hilchot Hanukkah. And that, that's not surprising. It's very interesting, though. In Hilchot Hanukkah, we have one of the only switcheroos in the entire Shulchan Aruch where the Sfaradim adopt the opinion of the Tosafot and the Ashkenazim adopt the opinion of the Rambam. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, you did? Oh, so it's uncharacteristic of Poske Sfarad to do that. Usually Maran would tend to follow Rif Rambam and Ashkenazim would tend to follow Tosfot and Rosh, but that's upended over here. We know that which is interesting, the Rambam writes that the Minhag Sfarad, there's two Minhagim with regards to Hanukkah that the Rambam brings down. One is what we do, and one is Minhag Sfarad. Now, Minhag Sfarad, the Rambam says, was one Chanukiah. By the way, do you know what the Ben Ishchai calls the Keli of the, that we light Nerot Chanukah in? Ashkenazim tend to call it the menorah, but it's not the menorah, because the menorah had seven branches. Yeah? The menorah of the Beit HaMikdash. So it's a candelabra, but it's not the menorah. Modern people instituted a name, Chanukiah. That's just modern. That's not halachic. That's not a halachic term. So it's not a menorah, and it's not a Chanukiah. So what is it? Very seldom will you find poskim referring to the actual keli that you light Nerot Chanukah in. They'll refer to it as Nerot Chanukah. But if you want to know the name of the keli that you light Nerot Chanukah in, what is it? If you look in Ben Ishchai, in Parashat Vayeshev, Shana Rishona, Ben Ishchai refers to it as the Chanukah. Now again, we don't find that precedented among other Kadmonim. I guess that was the adopted term in Baghdad. But we know it ain't a menorah, and it's certainly not a Chanukiah, because, who knows who invented Chanukiah? Probably Ben Yehuda or something. Yeah, it's not that. So, for lack of a better term, not that there needs to be a halachic, reference to the kid. Okay, whatever it is. Okay, so anyway, mikol makom. So the Rambam writes that the Minhag Sfarad that he wasn't such a fan of was that there was one Chanukah per household. And the Rambam says, no, in order to get maximum pirsume nisa, what does he say? That he believes for every person in the household, there should be a different set of Nerot Chanukah, which is what the Rama and Poske Ashkenaz adopt. The Tosafot say that would be counterproductive. Tosafot in Masechet Shabbat, Daf, Kaf Alef Amud Bet, they write Meforash that in order to get maximum pirsume nisa, what should you do? You should have one set of Nerot Chanukah per house. Why? Because the more you have, that would throw off the Pirsume Nisa, because people might get confused, right? They're not going to associate it with the number of residents in the house. They're going to say, oh, that's the night. It's the 64th night of Chanukah. Yeah, so, yeah. Anyway, so, Mikol Makom, that's why, that's one of the very interesting, there are rare occurrences in Shulchan Aruch where we would adopt the Poske Ashkenaz over the Rambam, very, very rare. Characteristically, like I've told you before, the building blocks for Shulchan Aruch is what? Tur. He took the topics and the layout from the Tur, but halakha-wise, where did Maran take at least 85% of the halachot in Shulchan Aruch?
Nachon.
That's how we go. But many of the halachot in Shulchan Aruch are verbatim Rambam, out of the Rambam.
80%.
So much so that Maran writes in Avkat Rochim that Rambam was the Mara De'atra, he was the Rav HaPosek for all Eretz Yisrael, Turkiya, Varbistan. He says all of the Middle Eastern and North African nations accepted the Psakim of the Rambam. Now, make no mistake, there are situations where Maran disagrees with the Rambam, which is interesting. But Maran won't stam disagree with the Rambam. If he does it, it's for either because the Rambam is outnumbered by the other poskim, or because there's a safek de oraita, for instance, like Hilchot Bishul b'Shabbat, where the Rambam allows Bishul achar Bishul b'davar lach. But because there's many poskim in it, borders on Isur Torah. Maran is Machmir. There are reasons why Maran would do that. In general, he wouldn't, but there are situations where he would. Matashua.
Can I eat in Boston this year in this
Bimnashua? So if it had to do with me, there's three parts to that question. Every question, you have to break it up. What halachot is it? No, by the way, anytime you have a question halacha, you have to know what halachot do these involve. Hilchot Talmud Torah, Hilchot Kvod Bet HaMidrash Uvet HaKneset, and Hilchot Deot Achila Bar Mida. So that's a... that's a... So...
Third question, verse 2.
Yeah.
Sex is no...
There you go.
And the story. That's it.
That's the end of the story.
That in terms of Hilchot Talmud Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, so there's no isur to eat as you learn. Just that Rambam writes that a person shouldn't be mitaneg b'ma'achal u'mishteh when he learns. If a person is overly indulgent in eating and drinking, the Rambam writes that can be an impediment to soaking in the Torah. But that's obviously if you're just eating lunch, that's not the case. If you want to eat in bet kneset uvet midrash, so that is the Magen Avraham, right in the beginning of Siman Kuf Nun Aleph, everybody knows that the Shulchan Aruch writes miforash, that part of the Kedushat bet kneset uvet midrash is that, how does the Kedushat bet kneset manifest itself? Asurin ba'achila u'shtiyah. So the Magen Avraham writes that for Talmidei Chachamim, who otherwise would have been mitbatin, which means if going out and eating and drinking, whatever, is going to cause bitul Torah to Talmidei Chachamim, there is room, especially bevatei knesiyot bebavel, that were built al tenai, for Talmidei Chachamim to eat and drink in the Beit HaMidrash in order. Now again, it's not just a fress. It has to be that you're such a matmid that you don't waste time in other, what are you saying? I mean, the only reason why it's mutar, achila ushtia, is what? So that Talmidei Chachamim shouldn't be mitbatel. If a person is mevatel anyway for other reasons, so why does that give him a license to do something that otherwise would have been asur for other people? Now, in terms of dinei mamonot, if the marad ha'atra of the makom, if the Rosh Hashiva or whatever it is, says that it's asur, it's asur. Gemar. Shalom. Now, anyway. Ciao. Anyway. So, how do you say in French?
Bye. Au revoir.
Oh. Huh? Yeah, top. So, mikol makom rabotai, back to our thing. So, Maran, for whatever reason, holds that it's one Hanukkah per household. Now, again, I get this question many, many, many times, and it's an annual question that I get. It sounds like a silly question, but let me explain to you why it's not. Silly question is, a kid comes home. Boy, girl, whatever it is, especially in preschool, you know, younger grades. Baruch Hashem, there's a plethora of yeshivot available, you know, in our area and other areas, Yishtabach Shemo, Sfaradim, Ashkenazim, we each learn by each other. That's the beauty of Am Yisrael, that's part of the Kibbutz HaGaluyot, that we all daven and learn by each other, and we all marry into each other and eat each other's foods and sing each other's songs. Hakol Mitzuyan. Yeah, some of the foods. Now, yeah. No, herrings. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Vadai. Yeah. Ravbina from Nativ says if you don't eat herring, you're not Jewish. Yeah. Anyway, because you have to check your yichus. Anyway. You don't do herring? Be'emet?
My dad does.
I don't. They get herring and shayra chamim. There was people that are like protesting.
Protesting.
Like, I'm only sponsoring and there's no herring.
Anyway, Mikol Makom, you have to know, the Gemara says that there are three levels. It's Gemara Masechet Shabbat of Kuf Yud Chet, that there are three levels of Onik Shabbat. It's at the beginning, right at the very, very beginning of Chod Shabbat, Siman Resh Mem Bet. There are three levels of Onik Shabbat. The lowest level of Onik Shabbat is, if a person's very poor, Kasad Arsena, Maze. It's herring, small fried or brined fish. So the Gemara already referenced herring. Akatub Shama. Yeah, it doesn't say sardines, herring. You see small fish over there. So that was... When they were very poor, that's what they used to do. That's what it came from. They were very poor. They couldn't afford heavy, heavy-duty onik Shabbat. So they started taking little fish and pickling them, whatever. And that's how herring was born. Today, herring is no longer the poor man's food. Herring is, you know, it's $8.99 for a little thingy. Yeah. And today they inspire herrings after rebbes. You ever seen? My favorite, by the way, Stam Shteda, is the Kotzker. The Kotzker herring. That's the... You know, the Admon
Mikotzker. I've never seen the Kotzker Rebbe.
No, I don't have a favorite Rebbe. They're all, no, I have a favorite herring. Anyway, Mikol Makom, it's very, I like it. I don't know. They write like, a short biography about the, no, Bemet, you know what I'm talking about?
Like Rashi Wine.
The Rebbe's choice. It's a kind of herring. And they write the Admon, and they write a little bit when he lived and some of his teachings. I made sure before I threw it out that it's not Chayav Gniza. But the Kotzker, I like it and I know why I connect to it. It's called the honey mustard spicy herb, because the Kotzker, the Admon Mikotz, was known to be Saraf, Harif Meod. So I connected it. Harifud, anyway, the Kitzur, so listen to this. So the Shaila that I wanted to tell you was like this, very interesting Shaila. So the kid goes to an Ashkenazi yeshiva, which wouldn't be a unique occurrence, especially where we live. Kid goes to an Ashkenazi yeshiva, and either, you know, when they're little kids and they want to come home, and they just made their, you know, their flammable menorahs. You know, I never understood that. They come home with menorahs that they made. The most flammable item in the house is the menorahs that they make in school. Piece of wood. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. It was burned down the house like 10 times. Anyway, Bekitzer. So they come home, they want a light. Or they're in older grades, and let's say under Bar Mitzvah, and they say, all my friends are lighting. I want a light too. So there's no issue for him to lighten the house per se. The only issue would be that according to Maran, first of all, you're in the realm of Safek Bracha Levatala, because according to Maran, it's the Ba'al HaBayit's mitzvah. That's all you need in the house. Anybody else who wants to, there's no Isur in lighting, but there is an Isur in lighting with the Bracha. A. B. That's his problem. That's my kid's problem. What's my problem if my kid wants to light? According to Maran, who paskins like Taisvis, what happens now? He distorts my Pirsum Enisa. Because according to the Tosfot and Minhag Sfarat that the Rambam brings down, my Pirsumen Nisa is having but one Hanukkah in the house, that people outside will be able to say, oh, there's only one candle lit today, it's the first night, it's two, the chule. If there's another Hanukkah in the window, or wherever it is, that's not only his problem, it distorts my Pirsumen Nisa. So what do I do now? As a Sfaradi, as a proud Sfaradi, what do you do if your kid comes home from yeshiva and says, I want to light like all my friends? Matase. Shalayfa. Yeah? So I'll explain to you the gravity of the shaila in a second. What are you asking?
Okay, once you're going like Tosfos, like there's a different Tosfos that says nowadays.
Tosfos is not a person.
The
no, no, no. The Tosafot. Tosfos are they. Yeah. Them. Yeah. Okay.
One of our Tosfos says that nowadays, like already they're lighting inside.
No.
So it's not.
We're lighting inside because of the sakana.
Right.
As Maran Abet Yosef says the same thing in Tafresh Ayin Zayin, which is what we said before. Somebody asked, I don't remember who asked, but do we go back to lighting outside once the Sakana passed? The Sakana was that Goyim used to have it out for the Jews, and any time they used to see Hanukkot outside, they would get upset and either break them or, you know, loot or pogrom or whatever. That's certainly not the case anymore. I mean, anti-Semitism is on the rise, but I don't think, you know, menorahs outside are causing any pogroms, you know, where we live. So, you never know. But that's the story. So now, that being said, in Eretz Yisrael, you see that many people went back to the Ikaradin, which was the original Takana, the foremost Pirsumanes, which is to light al petach beto. And if a person has a chatzer, bechatzer beto. There's different, there's machlokot poskim how to apply it today, but even in Eretz Yisrael, you see that primarily by Ashkenazim. Ashkenazim in Eretz Yisrael, you see that all the time, lighting outside, by outside their doors, chatzerot, entrance of the building. If you pass any building in Eretz Yisrael during Chanukah, you see like these metal shelves outside the mirror in Eretz Yisrael where they go outside, like kefita kanat chazam. By poskei Sfarad, modern day poskei Sfarad, you'll never, Maran Zichron Bracha, never lit outside, ever. Besides for the Kotel, when he was, you know, invited to light at the Kotel. That's that. Agon Chaim Tzion lit inside. Agon Rav Mazuz, lights inside. Agon Rav Amar, lights inside. Agon Rav Ba'adani, they all light inside. And, you know, Mikra Omer Dersheni, that if the Sakana passed, why is it that they're still lighting inside? So there's a few answers to that. The simplest is because once it has become the prevalent minhag in Am Yisrael to light inside, as a result, and not only that, but Yosef quotes the Tshuvat Rashba, who says that if a person doesn't have a window or something that's facing, Rishut Rabim Manicho al Shulchano Vedayo, right? You can just put it in your on your dining room table. Why? Because the Rashba writes that nowadays, since Sakana and on, Ikar Pirsum HaNes is for whom? And Shabbat for the people in the house. That's why Maran Zichron Bracha, for many years, when he was the Rav Rashi le Tel Aviv, He used to live in an apartment building on Shderot Rothschild. Anyway, so that was his... So he lived in a building, but he was a few floors up, which was above 20 amot from street level. He did not light in the window. He lit it on his dining room table. Like the Rama says, like the Bet Yosef says, that's what he did. Even when he moved to Yerushalayim, when he lived in HaKablan 45 in Harnov, so he lived on the first floor, one level above ground level, when he was still within. I remember seeing him light from the window. So he used to light at the window. Mamash, it was about, I'd say, 15 feet or so above street level. And he would light in the window. He would not light at the entrance to his house. He would not light at the entrance to his building. He would do that because once the minhag became, for whatever reason, that as a result of the sakana, we retreated inside, that minhag stuck, and we never took it back outside. Ashkenazim do. I haven't seen many Ashkenazim in Chutz La'aretz that light outside on their doorstep, besides for briskers. My Rebbe is a brisker. In Brooklyn, he lights outside, mamash, at the... Now, don't forget, when you're lighting Befetach Beto, Lecha Techila, Maran writes, Meforash, how high are you supposed to light? Below 10 tfachim. Between 3 tfachim and 10 tfachim from the ground. Lecha Techila, above 3, below 10. Now, that's the flames, which means many times I see people lighting at the doorstep, and they're doing it wrong. Why? Because they have this high chair, and then they have a high menorah with the flames. We're talking about the flames. The flames are supposed to be under 10 tfachim from ground level. That's the point. So if you're having one of these tall menorahs, so you put the menorah on the floor, so at least the flames can be under. And if you have one of those short ones, so you put a mamash, you take a little stool or whatever it is, and you put it there between 3 and 10 tfachim. Not to say that if you lit above 10 tfachim, you're not yotze. The only time you're not yotze is if you lit above 20 amot. But mitzvah min ha-muvchar, says Maran Meforash, is between 3 and 10 tfachim. Yeah.
Is ground level like one of the steps? Can you call one of the steps ground level?
What like steps are you talking about?
Like a staircase, right?
To the front door?
Huh? Yeah.
Okay. If you have steps leading up to the front door, okay.
So if you put it like on the top step,
okay,
it's going to be like...
That's your ground level. Ground level is where you're standing right now.
Every step you're at.
Yeah, where you're lighting. So, lecha techila, like Maran says... We learn out, the poskim say that since you have mezuzah on the right doorpost, you're supposed to put the Nerot Chanukah on the left. And then when you pass through, that you're surrounded by three mitzvot. Which mitzvot?
Tzitzit.
Yeah, tzitzit, mezuzah, Nerot Chanukah, and about which Shlomo HaMelech writes, V'achut HaMeshulash lo b'mirah inatek. Now, that is, nevertheless, Maran Zichron Bracha, many times people ask him, if I have a choice to light b'fetach beti or at the window, now the Ben Ishchai does bring down according to the Sod, very interesting, according to the Kabbalah, even if you don't have a window that faces Rishut Rabim, meaning you can't do large scale outdoor Pirsume Nisa, it's still better l'fi Kabbalah to light on the inside of the door by the left doorpost, within a tefach of the door. That's a big Kabbalistic thing he brings from Kitvei Ari, why it's preferable to do that. So Maran Zichron Bracha and Chazon Aviad discusses, if a person has two choices, I'm not lighting outside b'fetach beti, that's not happening, two choices, lighting at the window, or lighting at the window so that people in the street can see, or kefi asod, lighting on the left doorpost, which is still mibifnim, b'tefach hasamuch lepetach mibifnim, which is still opposite the mezuzah, the Ben Yishchai says, petach hasamuch lepetach mibifnim is preferable over lighting in the window. Once you're lighting inside, still keep the left doorpost. Whereas Maran Zichron Bracha says that Pirsum HaNis of the Holchim V'Shavim in the street takes precedence over the Tefach HaSamuch LePetach MiBifnim. So that is for all you Mekubalim out there, so you can certainly adopt what Ben Yishchai says, but if you're not a Mekubal, so it's certainly, I would say, better to go with the Chazon Ovadia and light in the window. Yeah, yeah. What do you say? First of all, it depends who you ask. That's one of the greatest controversies in the past 500 years in Psikata Halacha Sfaradi is what to do when Kabbalah and Halacha clash. That's not a very clear-cut answer, number one. Maran Zichron Bracha, that was his big thing. But many, many posts, Ben Yishchai didn't hold like that, Ida didn't hold like that, Kaf Chaim didn't hold like that all the time. Halacha versus Kabbalah is a very, very, very broad topic in Sfaradi Halacha. Maybe we'll talk about that one time. The parameters of Halacha versus Kabbalah. Is it only Zohar versus Shas? What if it's Kitvei Ari versus Shas? What if it, there's many, many different parameters, so maybe we'll talk about that at some point. But I do want to finish up this discussion on Hanukkah. Now, sometimes, so again, in terms of precedence for where to light, window facing Reshut HaRabim that's under 20 Amot that the B'nai Reshut HaRabim can see, that's the winner. Bizman Hazeh. Under that, what do we have? I'm telling you, Lefi Halacha, Sikat Halacha Lema'aseh. Under that, what do you have? You have Tefach HaSamuch LaPetach MiBifnim, which is lighting it on the inside, left doorpost. Okay? Now, sometimes that's not practical. If you have kids, that's not practical. If you need to leave the house, that's not practical, especially if it's blocking the door. Remember, if you're lighting it B'Tefach HaSamuch LaPetach, it's got to be within one Tefach of the left doorpost, the flames. So that would mean in many cases that would prevent you from opening the door. So if you needed to leave the house within a half hour of the Nerot Chanukah being lit, you can't put it out, you can't move it. Hadlaka osam mitzvah, you can't move the Nerot. Therefore, that might not be a practical option for you if that's, you know, if that's your situation. Yeah.
What about the back door?
We're talking about the front door. Davka.
Why?
That's the Lefi Asod. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, worst case scenario, if you don't have that option or that option, which happens many times, let's say you're living in a basement apartment. Yeah. Let's say you don't have any windows. And you have kids and whatever, so you can't light it by the door. So over there, bivadai, then you revert back to ikar ikar adin. That the Bet Yosef says, manichol shulchano v'dayo, leave it on the table, zeh, shalom. That's all you need to do. Now. Huh? Yeah. You can light with a bracha anywhere. Now. You know, I don't want to get too much into the other thing. Let's speak about timing. Timing. Okay, listen very carefully because this might surprise you a little bit. L'da'at Maran HaShulchan Aruch, we know there is a tremendous machloket haposkim when the optimal time to light Nerot Chanukah is. Famously, the Gaon Mivilna, Pri Chadash, and other poskim hold that when the poskim say shkia, it means tchilat shkia. That's why by Ashkenazim, you find many Ashkenazim, especially briskers and those who follow the Gaon Mivilna, lighting Nerot Chanukah, davka, at shkia, meaning at sunset, the beginning of sunset. Maran interprets shkia as not being the beginning of shkia, but being the end, which, what's end of shkia, a.k.a. Tzetek Kohavim. Maran holds that the appropriate time for Hadlakat Nerot Chanukah is B'Tzetek Kohavim V'chein Halacha. That's what we do. Now, don't forget, anytime Maran references Shkia and Tzetek Kohavim anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. People, you with me? What does Maran mean by Tzetek Kohavim?
Tzetek Kohavim.
What does that mean? Geonim Rabbeinu Tam. Da'at Maran kedat Rabbeinu Tam. We already know that from Shulchan Aruch, Orach Chaim, Siman Resamach Aleph, Sa'if, Yod. Also, in Yored De'a, Siman Resamach Vav, in Hilchot Mila, Maran Meforash, anytime Maran references Shkia or Tzetek Kohavim, Maran holds like Rabbeinu Tam. He's in good company. 21 other Rishonim hold like Rabbeinu Tam as well. That's pretty good. All the other Geonim, Kim'at, hold like the Geonim, as is quoted by Maram Elashkar in his Shelot Utshuvot Siman Tzadidalet, that that's why the Minhag of Am Yisrael, we keep Rabbeinu Tam, those who keep Rabbeinu Tam, is as a Chumrah, not as Halacha. Halacha is Kedat HaGeonim, which is the Shkia and the Tzetek Kohavim as we keep it today. A person who does Melacha 30 minutes or 40 minutes after Shkia, B'motzai Shabbat, you call Mechalen Shabbat? No, Mechalen Shabbat, he doesn't keep Rabbeinu Tam. A person who does Melacha 30 minutes after Shkia, Be'erev Shabbat, you call Mechalen Shabbat? Bevadai, even though according to Rabbeinu Tam, Zeheter Gamur, Maran HaShulchan Aruch. And all those who held like Rabbeinu Tam, people think Rabbeinu Tam has something to do with Motzai Shabbat. That's a farce. Rabbeinu Tam has absolutely nothing to do with Motzai Shabbat. Rabbeinu Tam was speaking about every night of the year. And just like Rabbeinu Tam forbids Milacha until 72 minutes Zmaniyot after Shkia on Motzai Shabbat, guess what else? Guess what else he permits? Milacha until that time on, not Mamash until that time, but at least until 58 and a half minutes, which is... which is considered Ben Hashmashot Ledat Rabbeinu Tam, but for over an hour after Shkia, Bilel Shabbat, Rabbeinu Tam, and all those 21 Rishonim, and Maran HaShulchan Aruch, and Rama, they were doing Melacha. You better believe that in Tzfat, where Maran was the Marad Atra, an hour after Shkia, it's dark outside. They're lighting fires, they're doing milacha. You know that. I'm not only talking about tefillah. You ever go to Williamsburg and try to catch a minion? Yeah, I've done this before, going to Shtiblach in Williamsburg, and you're going for Arvit. It's an hour after Shkia. Okay, let's pray Arvit. They walk in, it's dark outside. Why? Because Satmers, they hold like Rabbi Nutam. No. Mincha, no. Arvit, yes. If you pray Arvit with a minyan that's praying Mincha, are you Yotze Tefillah B'Tzibur? Right. Mechlok Taposkim. So, La'alacha, Maran Zichron Berachah brings in Halichot Olam, there's a huge discussion about it. In Siman Resh Lamed Gimal, in Hichot Tefillah Mincha, in Halacha B'Rah, he discusses it and he says, if you can't find another minyan, you are Yotze Tefillah B'Tzibur praying Arvit with a minyan that is praying Mincha. It's happened to me many times, going to Shtibel in Williamsburg, hour after Shkia, they're davening Mincha, I'm davening Marv. That's my tefillah b'tzibur. Mani ase, can you answer kedusha with them? Yeah. According to me, it's laila vaday. According to them, it's yom gamur. Yeah, they hold halacha k'rabbeinu tam. Can't answer kedusha. Can't answer chazarat hashatz. Why? Because l'shitatenu it's brachot levatala. Yeah, so you can't answer. Mana asot.
You also can't do a tachanun at that time. Wouldn't you not be able to?
Maze?
Tachanun.
Tachanun bevaday shenu. Tachanun, it's what are you talking about? Yeah. Ma? Answering kaddish is fine because that's not a bracha. Yeah, so that's so. Anytime, what I'm trying to tell you is that according to Maran, when Maran says to light Nerot Besof Hashkia, which is Tzeta Kohavim, Maran's talking about Rabbeinu Tam. So if we're going Maran, why don't we wait for Shitat Rabbeinu Tam to light Nerot Chanukah? Two answers to that question. You give me one, I'll give you the other.
Because
Maran says Tzeta Kohavim.
Okay.
You can't be zrizin makdimin the mitzvot before the zman of the mitzvah. Maran holds the zman of the mitzvah is at zet kohavim kedat rabbeinu tam. Maran doesn't hold it the geonim. Maran holds the geonim are wrong.
Maran zichron levachad in a paskin like that?
No. Oh, yafe. Answer up, yafe. I told you, you give me one, I'll give you the other. Number one is that were you to wait for shitat rabbeinu tam, now there's a tremendous machloket. Let's leave Hanukkah for a second. In terms of Shkia and Tzeta Kohavim, who did the Rambam hold like? Like the Geonim or like Rabbeinu Tam?
Okay.
And bring me a raya. From Minchot Kiddush HaChodesh. There's a tremendous machloket between the Maharalbach, which is one of the chief Mefarshim on Minchot Kiddush HaChodesh, Rabbeinu Levi ben Chaviv, and Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam, which side of the fence the Rambam was on. The Maharalbach held that the Rambam actually held like Rabbeinu Tam with regards to Tzeta Kohavim. Now, again, this is a different series. Understanding, all Geone Olam have a hard time understanding Shitat Rabbeinu Tam. It's based on a stira in a Gemara. Masechet Shabbat Taf Lamed He and Masechet Psachim Daf. No. Tzadi Dalet. Yeah. So, there's a machloket, there's a stira between those two gemarot, how to understand Shitat Rabbi Yehuda with regards to Shkia and Tzeta Kohavim, in order to reconcile the stira in these two gemarot. So Rabbeinu Tam is a new pshat, that at our Shkia, the sun disappears and goes into this imaginary sleeve, and then reappears 58 and a half minutes later zmaniot, at which point we see it again, it sets, hence Shkia and Tzeta Kohavim. Many, the Gaon Mivin LaBa'al HaTanya, Pri Chadash, Minchat Kohen, they all have issues with the Shitav Rabbeinu Tam because it seems at face value, wow, that's weird. The sun disappears and then reappears and then rises and sets after it set. How does that work? So there's a whole, if you look in, do we have Mishnah Berurah Ish Matzliach over here?
I think some guys have.
Right, get it. So now, the Landers Farm Endowment Fund, yeah, so you'll, Mishnah Berurah Ish Matzliach, invaluable resource. In the end, at the end of Mishnah Berurah Ish Matzliach Chilek Gimal, there's a kuntres called Kuntres Ben Hashmashot, where over there, a Gaoner of Mazuz, he wrote it by himself. He writes over there, Dvarim Kashim Me'od Neged Shitat Rabbeinu Tam, and he proves, in his opinion, how Shitat Rabbeinu Tam cannot be true according to the Mitziut. Now, Maran Zichron Berachah doesn't appreciate that very much. If you look in Halichot Olam Chelek He, he rips him very strong for what he wrote in that Kuntres. Aval Mikol Makom, he wouldn't be alone. Many Rishonim and Acharonim have a very, very, very hard time explaining Shitat Rabbeinu Tam. There's a famous Bi'ur Halacha in Siman Resamach Aleph, Saif Yod, where he also discusses this. the Gra and Baal HaTanya famously deviated away from Shitat Rabbeinu Tam because of the tremendous... They have a way to be miyashev. Rabbeinu Tam has his way to answer the stira, hence leading to Shitat Rabbeinu Tam. And the Gra and Baal HaTanya, famously, and Milchat Kohen, they have another way to reconcile that Shita. Anyway, when Maran talks about Tzete Kohavim by Nerot Chanukah, we don't wait for Tzete Kohavim of Rabbeinu Tam as Maran would. Number one, because in doing so, at least according to Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam, the Rambam holds that after Shkiah, you only have half an hour to light. Afterwards, it's Baruch HaLevatala. After Kedesh Tichlei Regen Menashuk, you're done. Maran doesn't hold like that. Maran holds B'di'avad, you can light all night long until Alot HaShachar. But why would you forego the Rambam, which according to him, it's at least the Safek Baruch HaLevatala, when trying to keep the Chumrah of Rabbeinu Tam? That's one answer. Answer number two, cliffhanger. I'll tell you next time, Bezat Hashem. Kol Tov.
Question. What's the Svara?